You know, we want to know things. We're built that way. We're built to learn. And when we get to heaven, we're going to keep on learning. But we want to know things, so we ask questions. We ask God questions, and usually they're why questions. Well, not all, usually, but some of them are why questions. Why did you let that happen, God? And he doesn't answer us right away. Maybe we find out later in life, or maybe we're going to find out in heaven, and I'm going to say, oh. You know, C.S. Lewis said something like that. He said, the biggest thing we're going to hear in heaven is, oh. You know, like, oh, now I understand, you know, because I didn't understand before. And we have what questions. What do you want me to do? It's what questions, you know. Or how do you want me to do that? But then there are a lot of just yes and no, yes and no answer questions to God. Please, will you do this for me? We're asking God, yes or no, will you do this for me? You know, well, what we don't know that there are a lot of those same kind of questions that God has for us. I read this book by Bruce Larson called What God Wants to Know. If you ever get a hold of that book, it's probably out of print. If you ever, it might be on that thing. I don't know if I have Bruce Larson's books on that open library, but you can check out some of them sometimes from libraries and things if you can't find them anywhere. But anyway, it's a really good book to read because What God Wants to Know is about all the questions God asks. Or not all of them, but ones from the very beginning. Where are you, Adam? Who did you listen to? Like, who told you you were naked? Who were you listening to, you know? And other questions like, did you eat the fruit? He knew all the answers. And God knows all the answers. He's not asking to get information. But he has many questions for us. We have a lot of questions we always think, I want to ask God. But he has a lot of questions he wants to ask us, and he has asked them in the Word of God. So we can find them. And you can hear one right now as I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. It is John. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I usually teach out of the NIV, but I'm reading it out of the New King James for a special reason. But John 5, 1 through 9. Listen and see if you can hear the question, okay? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate pool, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years, wow. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, Jesus said to him, Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Rise. Take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. So he was giving that man rest. Now, what was the question?
Do you want to be made well?
Do you want to be made well or do you want to be healed? Yeah. I'm going to read it again in the NIV translation and teach from there. But when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, Do you want to get well? And that's what the title of this message that I'm preaching is. And that's the question that was written down in the book. Do you want to get well? I've even seen a book that I want to read. I haven't read it yet. I still want to read it. It's called Do You Want to Be Healed? And it's the same thing. It's the same question. Well, that subject of healing and mental state, the healing and the human mind, healing and the human mind, that phrase, we hear it a lot. Because healing and our mental state are connected. But if you hear about healing and the mind, it's almost like the stirring of the pool by the angel. You don't hear it all the time. You mostly hear about healing and you think of physical healing. Or you hear about healing of just the mind, you know. But you don't see the two together. And here, in this passage, the Lord has put both of them to get together. And recently, I stepped a little bit deeper into this pool of psychology and psychotherapy and pastoral counseling and deep pastoral counseling and healing of the subconscious and all that kind of thing. And I still feel like I'm still in shallow water. I'm making some progress, but I'm still in shallow water. And when I was an ER nurse, I did a year while I was an ER nurse. I also worked psych. I worked a locked unit with mental patients. And I'm still an RN. I'm going to keep my title. I've chosen this title, David, Pastor David RN. Well, I've let my registered nursing go, but I'm a retired nurse, so I'm still Pastor David RN. That's not going to change. I'm a retired nurse. But while I was a nurse and did those things, especially in the ER and especially in psych, I saw the many failures of medical treatments. I mean, they attempted physical and mental illness to be healed. And there were failures. And I saw a lot of that. And I think seeing that skewed my thinking. It sort of warped my thinking about healing. And then about 35 years ago, because that was about the time when I was getting into, well, no, 35 years ago. No, it was like 40 years ago I got into nursing, okay. But 35 years ago, we started coming to CFO.
All right.
And CFO had this emphasis on healing, that God was into healing. God wants to heal us. And there were lots of teachings on healing and everything like that. But one thing that I saw, this perspective on healing was starting to change. And perspective is so important because perspective directs the focus. It guides the focus. It narrows our perceptions and our expectations, just the perception we have, how we view things. And Bruce Larson, in his book, he had a great illustration. I really like this illustration. It's sort of funny in a way, but it's at the same time, it's really, really describes our society, the way our society is. But Bruce Larson had a daughter that told him a story of her sister-in-law's family who had been in Florida on a vacation. And they were driving along the coast, and they saw this sign that said, Naturist Camp. And what they thought that meant is Naturalist Camp, like nature study, so naturist. And what it actually meant was Nudist Camp.
Right.
So they went and parked on the beach. And as they parked, along comes this group riding bicycles in the nude. You know, they're just riding on a group of people riding bicycles, and they're riding by. And the little boy, their five-year-old boy, he comes and says, Mommy, Daddy, look, they're not wearing their safety helmets. Now, let me tell you something. That little boy was, he had a focus. He had a perspective. I have an expectation here, you know. If you ride a bicycle, you're supposed to have your safety helmet on. And that's, I don't think that's what his parents were thinking about, but that's why that one stood out. That one stood out there. And that's true. It, we don't realize how much our perspective zeroes in on things and makes our focus and makes our expectation. Well, God asks questions to us. And not just this one that we found in this passage, but if you go through all of Scripture, especially the ones in the Garden of Eden, but God asks questions to us for our learning, so that we will learn and we can learn about ourselves. He asks, do you want to get well, to help us move our focus from what's wrong in our lives to our attitude? He doesn't just want to fix what's wrong in our lives. He wants to start with our attitude, with our focus, with our perspective. God desires our wholeness starting with our minds. Starting with our minds. He doesn't just want to deal with our bodies. We are body, soul, spirit beings. He wants to deal with all of us, but he usually starts with the mind, and he did here anyway. So the reason he does this, I think, is because of where our thinking can take us, or where our thinking can bring us. The man with the infirmity for 38 years thought, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. And we see this in his, he had an answer to Jesus, and it was an evasive answer. It was not a direct answer. It was not the answer that you would expect. Healing? Yes, of course, absolutely. But when do we start? You know, that's not his answer. That's different. That's a different answer than you would expect for somebody for 38 years. But something happened to his mind in 38 years, having this illness. It wasn't a positive answer, but it was an explanation. And that's another way that he evaded Jesus. He started having an explanation. I need to explain something here. I have issues to talk about before this getting healing thing. I have some issues I got to talk. I've met people like that. When you're trying to talk about healing and stuff, they start talking about issues. And it's like, those can be handled. Yeah, those issues can be handled, but God wants the main thing. God wants the main, when God gets to the heart of things. So, although he saw this man's condition, lying there helpless, and he knew his circumstances, 38 years with his paralysis, he aimed a special question at the most important target. It was an unhealthy focus. He had an unhealthy focus. It was the man's mental attitude, and he wanted to get there first. So we ask the right question. Do you want to be healed? When people verbalize mental complaints, now they've been thinking about these complaints for a long time. If they're going to verbalize them, it's not something off the top of their head. They've had these for a while. It's down deep inside. And so it comes out. So Jesus asked a direct question, did not get a direct answer. He was complaining. He had some mental complaints. I've got some issues here. I got to talk about my issues. He verbalized his mental complaints with this unhealthy focus. And one of the unhealthy focus was a victimization perspective. He had a victim. I'm a victim here. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Family, friends, society, they failed me. I'd be doing fine right now if only others had done their part, had been there for me, and I'd be great right now. You know, they're the ones. I'm the victim here. That's not what Jesus asked. Do you want to be well? Do you want to get well? And another one of this unhealthy focus is a focus on the dashed hopes or the broken dreams. You know, he just was focusing on, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. I mean, I want to get in. I want to get into the water. And every time I try, someone else gets, my dreams are shattered. My hopes are I'm hopeless in this situation. Well, you know, as victims, we do say, I did try harder, just like I was told. But it got me nowhere. If we're victims, that's what we usually say. I tried. But look, I'm still here in this situation. Or, all the others get the breaks. You know, God must be against me. That's an attitude. That attitude that God must be against me. That reverses the question. Instead of, do you want to get well? It's, God, do you want me to get well? I don't think you want me to get well. Look at this situation right now. I don't think you want me to get well. So, this idea that everybody else gets the breaks, I don't get any breaks, that is a reversal of God's question. But God's answer to the reversal, how God answers the reversed question of, do you want me to get well? It's 100%, yes, I want you well. And I'm going to make sure that anybody who wants to be well is going to get well if they'll do the right thing. And you've got to get that mental attitude first. So here's our problem. On the reverse question, do you want me to get well? God says yes, but our yes to his question is not 100% a good 100% yes attitude or confidence. And this is why his wish to bring us to wholeness starts with our minds. His wish to bring us to wholeness in body, soul, spirit starts with our minds. This paralyzed man was also paralyzed by a mindset of victimization and a mindset of hopelessness that led him to despair. So he was in despair. That was his condition. But his mind had got him there. There were attitudes that had got him there. So it had led him to a place. It had led him into this despair, but it also had led him to a place called Bethesda. And Bethesda means house of grace. But even there, in the house of grace, what was he seeing? He was seeing everybody else around him, grace coming to them, but not to me. Until what? Jesus showed up. And Jesus changes everything. So Jesus brought him this question that was full of grace. Do you want to get well? It was full of grace. His question offered this man much more than a miracle. People seeking miracles aren't always seeking God. You know that? If they're seeking miracles, they want something, but they doesn't necessarily want what comes with it. God gives miracles sometimes to those people too. He did, in a sense, to these other people that got healed. An angel came down, stirred the water, they got healed, whatever. But some of those people might have gone away without ever meeting God. Or seeing their need of God. They went home happy. They were healed. But without the healer. Without the healer. And God wants his miracles to create people who are thirsty for him. That's what he wants miracles for. To create people, in people, a thirst for him. So Jesus offered, what he was offering was personal interaction. And that's really, do you want to be healed? I'm able to heal you. Do you want to be healed? This is a personal interaction that no healing pool could give him that personal interaction. The angel sure couldn't. Could stir the water up, but couldn't give him a personal interaction with God. So this man was being offered something that was totally different than what the healing he was thinking of. The healing in this pool. And that question that God asked him is the same question he asks us today. Do you want to be healed? And he's directing that question to our minds, to our attitudes. He wants us to have a changed attitude towards him. He wants us to thirst for a miracle, but the thirst is transferring from the miracle to the healer, the healing to the healer. Because we can get lots of healings, but if we don't get the healer, we haven't got what we're really created for, that kind of relationship. This question does something else, too. It validates the power of human free will. When God asks this question, do you want to get well? He's validating you have a free will in this. You have a choice in this. So, you know, psychology and psychosomatic, especially psychosomatic medicine, where they find out that certain things, because of what people are doing, they're having real reactions in their body because of something in their mind. They're having real reactions. You can even say they have all these symptoms, and these are physical symptoms. But where'd they come from? They came from the mind. The mind set this process up. So psychology and psychosomatic medicine, they testify that our thoughts affect the body. Our thoughts affect the body. Our self, the human self, is a union. It's not just parts put together, pasted together. This is what I shared in the Dance of the Sexes talk last night, that we are body, soul, spirit beings. We are totally intermeshed together as body, soul beings. You cannot separate them, except death does. But Jesus doesn't like that either, so he came so we would be put back together in resurrection and have this thing called humanity, which is body, soul, spirit beings. No one else in the universe has it except humanity. And Jesus has become one of us so that he could do this. So our self is this union of body, soul, and spirit. And human wills can the human will, which is part of that spiritual soul self, and sometimes the body too, the human will is involved in this, in collaborating with health. You say, well, doctor, fix me. You know, and the doctor says, you need to do this. And but no, I came here for you to fix me. And our will has to be involved in this. Our will has to work. It can work against health. Our will can work against health. Bruce Larson also shared this illustration. He had a relative who was told that he would die in 3 months if he didn't give up smoking and drinking. And he said, I'd rather die in 6 months and enjoy myself than live 50 months abstaining, and he died in 3 months. He died in 3 months. Well, he had a choice. He could have helped himself with health, but he didn't. By addressing the will, and Jesus was addressing the will, by addressing the will, Jesus' question puts the responsibility of wholeness back on the, back into the hands of the person who really needs the wholeness. The responsibility for the wholeness now is in the ballpark of the man who hears the question, do you want to get well? It's not on Jesus now. He's offered himself, but now he's waiting for you to hit the ball back on the other side of the court. Because it's in your court when he says, do you want to get well? And one other thing that this question, do you want to get well, calls us to is to abandon the blaming and to abandon all the complaining. There was a psychologist. I don't agree with everything he said, but one of the things he did say, he was a very successful small group therapy, but his philosophy, I wouldn't support it. Anyway, he did say some right things, and one of the things he says, only one kind of counselee was hopeless, the one who blames others for his or her problems. If they blame others for their problems, they can't get well. They can't get well. And this was from a secular psychologist. And this question also does another thing. It holds us accountable for our choice between positive and negative. There's another, just positive and negative thinking, not yes and no, but just our way of thinking positively or negatively. Another psychologist named Martin Seligman, in his book called Learned Optimism, he says that we all have in our hearts a yes or a no. We respond to life either negatively or positively. If we can learn to put the yes into practice, it will change the course of our lives. Now, again, this is a secular psychologist, but he's come on something. You can't think negatively and be a good choice mentally for your life. It just doesn't work. It will not change your life. It'll keep you in the rut that you've been in all this time. If you start thinking positively, it'll help you out of that rut. But you see, the thing that they don't have in the secular psychology, they don't have the source of the strength. The source of the strength is Jesus. So those healed at the Bethesda pool, they finally died. And so did this man in this story. He finally died too. Until Jesus returns, this thing about healing, because Jesus is going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. On resurrection day, we're going to get our bodies back. When we go to heaven, we'll have a spiritual body, and it'll last, and they all have them up there. They're all interacting with their spiritual bodies up there, but they're waiting for their resurrection bodies. That when Jesus comes back, that's going to happen. So the full healing, the full restoration of the body comes on resurrection day. But in the meantime, God's desire for our wholeness starts with our minds right now. So the question is, do we want wholeness now? Do we want wholeness now? God's question, do you want to get well, leads us right into asking some more questions of ourselves. Will we trust His diagnosis of what's needed for healing? You know, a lot of times we don't trust a doctor's diagnosis. And it's okay to not trust them sometimes. You need a second opinion. But when you go to the top, when you go to the one who created us, and He knows our insides and outsides, then we have gotten the diagnosis that we really need to listen to. Amen. Are we really ready to take it? Are we really to trust His diagnosis? Second thing, do we agree with the treatment plan that He prescribes for our special case? No, I want that. That guy had a treatment plan. I want his. He worked out fine. He said, yours is this. This is your treatment plan. This is what I prescribed for this healing. That's a little bit hard. Yeah, this is it. And there again, it's God that's giving the prescription. It's God that's giving the treatment. And He's saying, this is the treatment you need. Do we trust Him on that? And will we stay on the healing regimen that He prescribes? Are we going to follow what the great physician is telling us to do? What are the physician's orders? That's when I was a nurse, you had to take off the orders. Whatever the physician's orders, you had took down the physician's orders and you put them into the medical thing so that they would get those medications or whatever had to happen. It was the physician's orders. Well, that's what God does with us. He says, this is it. Will you do the regimen? Will you follow the plan? This is my healing plan. That's all I've got for you. You want to follow it. And then we get a choice. If we won't do those things, our prognosis is really poor.
Yeah.
Our prognosis of getting well. So if we really are serious about wanting to get well, there's another crucial question that we need to ask ourselves. Can we make room for God's healing? And that might be a little bit different question. Jesus told us, give and it shall be given to you. Are we ready to give wholeness to other people? Are we ready to give healing to other people? Maybe we hold the key to their healing. And we can do some of this wholeness that they need is in thought, word, and deed. Things that we do in thought, word, and deed can contribute to other people's wholeness. Are we willing to be the kind of people that are giving as it is given unto us? I just finished this past Sunday preaching on forgiveness. And forgiveness is a big twin. We can't get forgiveness until we give forgiveness. Because what? We're holding on to others. And you can't receive until you open up your arms. This is open up your hands. Jesus said on the cross, He taught us to pray this by example. He said, not on the cross. This was when He was teaching us to pray. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, I've heard of this illustration before. But there was one doctor that asked, this was a doctor that asked this lady, but I heard of a lady who was asked, who was offering to pray for healing for somebody. But this doctor was talking to this lady and asking her about her sudden onset of rheumatoid arthritis. And he asked this question, has anything unusual happened to you recently? Oh, yes, she replied. I know exactly what you mean. And furthermore, I have no intention of forgiving him. The doctor didn't have a clue about what needed to be forgiven or who needed to be forgiven, but it was clear that this woman was crippled by her unmet need of forgiving, of being a forgiving person. This is why this popular saying in CFO, let go and let God, it's a divine prescription for releasing our receiving healing, because we're releasing the things that we're holding on to that actually are keeping us sometimes in our attitude from really receiving. And this is especially important, letting go and letting God, when you come to the communion table, which we're going to do in a little bit, where you have to really, when you come to the table, before you take, whatever you're holding on to, maybe it's forgiveness that you're holding somebody accountable for their sins against you. You've got them. I'm holding them accountable for what they did to me. If you hold them, you can't receive from the communion table. That's why I say that the table of the Lord's communion, it's the table of His cross. It's what happened on the cross. It's His death to sins for us. His death is not just the death of the sins, but the death of the sinner. And it's on the table. And when you go to the table, it's a table of death. So let's give these things up to that death that was paid for on the cross, so that I have open hands now to receive. And unless we let go, we cannot receive. And we can't accept grace when we're holding on to disgrace. There's a disgrace in my heart because I've done this, I've done that. We must first of all clean that disgrace out by confession. That's why it's a great thing when in your, and I'm going to do this tonight, when you have a coming to the table, it's a time to confess and let go of the disgrace so you can take grace into your heart. And we can't hold other hurts and wounds if we want to receive healing for them. Oh, this thing hurts so much. I've been sitting here for 38 years. I'm paralyzed. Yes, you're paralyzed, and your hands are paralyzed too. You're holding on to it so tight. You know, and you have all the symptoms of a victim and a despair that nothing can help you. And there's no one helping me. Yeah. It's not my fault. I could have healing, but it's not my fault. I've done everything. And they're holding on to their woundedness, holding on to their pain. And unless they open their hands and let go, they can't receive the healing that God wants to give. We need to take our wounds and our healing and our pain and leave them on the table of His cross where they belong. Jesus took them on the cross. He took them into His body and into His soul. He took our sin, our disgrace, into His body and soul. And we cannot receive God's wholeness for our broken souls if we have a tight grip on the sins that touched us from other broken lives. You see, it's all about brokenness. We're broken, and so is everybody else. And so when we get hurt by broken people, it's because that's what broken people do. They hurt each other. And so we need to let go of that. So from the cross, we need to do exactly what Jesus did. And we need to pray, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You know, this poem, I still got some copies here. If you haven't ever read it, The View from the Cross. The View from the Cross. It's the only way to really let go. You have to be up there with Jesus. He said you were, the old man was crucified. Your old self needs to be up there. and looking down at the sinners below the cross. You're now identified with Jesus, then get up on the cross with him. And you're looking down. You need to read this if you haven't read it. You don't have to take it. You can leave it right there again. But I think you might like to meditate upon that. God's desire is for our wholeness. Our ultimate wholeness starts with our minds and manifests with our wills, with our choices. So by his grace, we can choose a wholesome spirit by new birth. That's what happens at the beginning. Jesus says, come unto me. And we come to him. And what does he do? He makes us new creatures in Christ. We're born again. That's the beginning. That's our first step. But for an ongoing, healthy, victorious soul life, we must keep in step with Christ. We must keep in step with Christ. We did the first step. We came to him when he called us. But the second step is not a second step. It's a continual, lifelong, ongoing step to his call. Follow me. Follow me. Follow him in this way of forgiving others. And these two steps don't come automatically. We have to, when Jesus says, come unto me, we have to come. We choose. We choose if we want to be born again. We choose if we want to have a new life in Christ. But we also have to choose to keep on this process of healing. The God of healing, and Jesus attested to the fact that God's purpose for us is healing, restoration, wholeness. And the fact that we're all here tonight, everybody is physically here tonight. I don't see anybody that's not here. I know, we got to go. But I'm just saying, everything that's happening here tonight is happening with you people who are sitting here in bodies that are here. That means that Jesus' healing has affected you again and again in your life. His watch care over you, his protection over you. He is that kind of a God. And even now, he's at work on more than the healing of our lives. And it's going to take when we get to heaven for the healing to be complete. So, but in this process, what he wants to do, what he's giving attention to, and what he wants us to do tonight, as I think we move towards the table, is to have this desire for wholeness. No excuses, no blaming, but a desire for wholeness in our hearts and minds in this stage of our journey. Wherever we're at, doesn't matter. Wherever we're at, Jesus still asks the question, do you want to get well? So before I pray and we go up there, a little instruction. We're going to be praying for one another. This is a blessing service. This is a healing service. And we're going to be taking communion. And we're going to pray. There's chairs around a circular table. There's communion elements, I hope, up there already. Are they up there?
I haven't done it.
Would you go on up there and do that? And I'll just and then we'll come up there. It'll be all ready for us. I don't think there's any candles up there burning either. I said one time we had some candles up there. It might be pretty dark, but it's going to be the table of the Lord's blessing on us. And when you go up there, pray first about when it's time for you to take the communion, when it's time for you to take the communion. Amen. And then you sit around in those chairs, and that is your symbol and that is your expression to everybody around you. Yes, pray for me when you sit in that chair. Then you'll get some prayer from people. And don't get up until you have that prayer.
That's right.
And then when you get up, go and take the Lord's from the Lord's table. But remember, as you're sitting in that chair, put on the table what you need to let go of. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we're going to go up and we're going to have a great time, I know, at your table, because your cross paid for all of this. So bless us now as we go. And Lord, may the healing that you want to do in us tonight be the healing that we receive fully as we answer this question. Do you want to get well? Thank you. Amen.